You know what, Michelle? I'm gonna tell you what I told him. You need to eat, you need to sleep, and you need to start showing me a little bit of appreciation. My name is Howard, by the way.
Hello, club members. Mommy's home.
And daddy's home.
And daddy's home. But this is my house. We're in my house today because today we were talking about 10 Cloverfield Lane, and that was on the mommy poll. It's one of mommy's movies.
Oh, yes. But
I don't actually know how Ariana feels about this movie. I don't know how daddy feels. It may be a daddy movie too, but she's not going to tell me.
What do you think, Kate? Do you think I like it?
I think you like it okay, probably.
Yeah, sure. Sure.
Is that correct?
I don't not like it.
There we go. That's what I kind of expected from it. Well, anyway, guys, welcome to another flesh-melting meeting of the Nightlight Horror Movie Club. Yes, flesh-melting. Today, I have a little teaser.
Oh, perfect.
If you will.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, so today, you know, we're covering 10 Cloverfield Lane. I'm just going to say, you don't need to know anything about anything that says Cloverfield in it to watch this movie.
If anything, it'll give away the ending, and that's not fun.
Yeah, in fact, don't. But yeah, I have a little teaser, so tell me, Ariana. So, John Goodman stars.
I'm already dying. I can already tell this is going to be ridiculous.
As one of two lovable monsters who power their city by collecting children's screams. But when one special girl enters their lives, they realize things may not be as they seem. So the question is this movie as good as Monsters Incorporated? Because they're very comparable. It's apples to apples.
It is apples to apples. Although I feel like I like Monsters University better.
Ew, you're messing with me.
Wait, you've seen Monsters University though, right?
I actually have.
It was the Toy Story 3 we all needed.
Ew. Agree to disagree. I don't have time to argue again with you about Monsters University, okay? I don't have time to have this discussion with you. We have to talk about my movie. They're in my house. And but before, actually, you know what? Why don't we tell them? No, let's tell them nothing about the movie. Y'all get nothing. I'm not going to tell you a damn
Kate
thing.
Kate changes her mind every time. So this movie was recommended by Kate on our Kate poll. What did it barely win?
Color Out of Space.
I did vote for Color Out of Space because I've never seen it, but I heard it was cool and I wanted to watch it.
We need another mommy poll because, guys, you guys are sleeping on Color Out of Space, on Mandy, and on The Voices. All of those are really good movies. There's probably another one on there, too, but they're all good. Anything I like is good. So
I have amazing taste.
I have such good taste. But yeah, I'm not going to talk about what happens in the movie because it's kind of a little twisty-turny situation. So spoiler alert, I'm going to spoil it. I'm going to talk about it. That's why I'm here. So Ariana, do you have any love children, though, that you can kind of help guide people? Because I can't tell them much.
I have a lot of love children. This movie is like four movies in one, just FYI.
Kind of is.
So this movie, obviously, it's kind of in like a Cloververse. Right?
There's
Cloverfield, which came out like 10 years before this one, right? And then 10 Cloverfield Lane, and then Cloverfield Paradox, which I've seen and Kate has not seen.
I haven't seen anything Cloverfield.
Oh, you haven't even seen Cloverfield?
No.
Oh my God. I saw that in the theaters.
Oh, because that was whenever you were in your like discovery period.
Hell,
you would have been in high school.
Yeah. It was awesome. I think I saw it with my brother, probably. We used to see horror movies together all the time back in the day. And it was fucking awesome. Although I feel like I remember it being very dizzying because it was like found footage-y. And it was like...
So that was the main critique of Cloverfield from my memory of being in high school. And I remember trying to watch a little bit of it and I got motion sick.
Yeah.
So I think that's what it was. But I might have been exaggerated because everyone was like, oh my God, it's so shaky.
Oh, really?
Because I love Blair Witch.
Oh, I didn't know that was like a thing.
Yeah, I remember everyone was bitching about that.
Oh, shit. Well, this one's like not really anything you have to know anything about. But obviously, they're all in the same universe. Like, their characters are different, but the premise is the same. somewhat.
Different places.
Something's happening.
Different times.
And, yeah. Something's happening around the same time, but it's like happening in different places. And that's what each movie's about.
Yes.
But
yes.
Okay. So here's some love children for you. Ready?
Hit me. Ready.
Have you seen Super 8?
Yes, I have. Yeah.
Super 8. Amazing. Also saw that in theaters.
Yeah.
Split, which I feel like Kate doesn't like that much, but I really like.
No, I like Split.
Do you?
I like Split.
I feel like it's rated super low on our scoreboard.
It in my opinion, it is. Yes, I agree. I like it.
Yeah, because you like Unbreakable and all that shit too, right? That's like your shit.
Yeah, Unbreakable is good. And then Split, I was like,
Glass?
I'm going to stop you right there. No, didn't watch that. It looked, the reviews were bad. It looked bad. So I was like, I'm just going to, I pretend that one didn't happen.
Okay. Okay. I really like Split.
So it's just two unrelated movies.
Split is going to be on Netflix soon. I know you just got Netflix.
I saw
Kate.
That.
Yes.
I saw that. Yeah. We should watch that whenever we hang out soon.
Yeah. Yeah. We totally should.
It has your girl in it. Anya.
Anya.
Face Joy.
Anya TJ.
Anya, look at the camera for 2 seconds and look wistfully away.
Hell yeah.
And that's of all course. We need. Good job.
I'm well here done. For it. Another one for you. House at the End of the Street, not to be confused with Last House on the Left, which is really fucked up.
House at the End of the Street is one with Jennifer Lawrence.
That's the one with J-Law. Yeah,
I've never seen it, but I know about it. I know
it's
it exists.
Great. And
is it good?
Yeah, it's good. It's like it's similar. It's like abduction-y and like the ending's similar. And it's just like, how do I get
the
out of this?
The ending is similar?
The ending is similar. Like the twist of like you find out like what the motive is. It's similar to
oh,
this
I
one.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And then the last okay. one is Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, obviously.
Obviously. For the bunker of it all.
For the bunker of it all.
The that bunker horror.
A fucking hilarious fucking,
we love Kimmy Schmidt.
Oh my God. I know you love it because it, who's the girl that's in it that you love? The blonde lady? You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, from 30 Rock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever her name is.
I love her.
Kate loves her.
I forgot.
She's
her
know
name.
Her name.
She's my girl. I know. I can't on the spot. She's fantastic and I love her.
Yeah. She's hilarious. Mm-hmm.
She's very vaudeville. Well, totally. I have, I love your love children, but I have some movie genres that I think are going to interest you.
Oh, amazing. I can't wait.
I think you know, number one with a bullet, Corn. Horror.
Are they in a cornfield?
The Ariana, the entire last like
third oh,
of the
right,
movie.
You're right. Ah, corn horror. I totally forgot. I'm
Ariana's
so
like,
dumb.
Actually,
I'm
this
so
is
dumb.
Corn horror because there was an ear of corn on the dinner table scene.
I was like, was there, did they eat corn?
A mass. Yeah. Oh my God.
There's a cornfield.
There's like a massive climax in a cornfield.
Obviously. There's always
Dirty.
A cornfield. Always. In this type of movie, and I don't want to give away the ending, but in this type of movie, if you've seen it, you know what I'm talking about. There's always a cornfield.
Yes. If you know, you know.
You know, you know.
And we're here for the corn.
Yes.
I also have another food horror. I have spaghetti horror.
Oh, yeah. Spaghetti horror.
A new entry into our genres.
Like Unbreakable, yes. Or not Unbreakable. What's it called? Killing of a Sacred Deer.
Killing of a Sacred Deer, yes, that really cracked that genre open. But yeah, there's a whole like dinner table scene that it heavily involves spaghetti and the
heavily.
Movement of spaghetti across plates, and so yeah, spaghetti horror. And
amazing.
Then I have one final one, and that this is just because I'm claustrophobic, but vent horror.
Oh yes, yes, I know you're claustrophobic. Where she's climbing through the vent and she has to like go upwards and downwards, and it's
oh my gosh, I was holding my breath. I can't handle stuff like that.
Kate's worst nightmare.
Obviously. Yeah, The Descent was a tough one. The Descent really...
The Descent...
It makes me, like, nauseous to think about it too much. That's a good movie.
The Nutty Putty Cave incident, if you...
Oh, my God,
...have
yes.
a similar fear of tubes
don't like,
inverting and claustrophobia.
No, don't like it. It's not natural. You're not supposed to go in there. Stay out. So, yeah, those are my genres.
All right. I have one genre for you.
Hit me. What is it?
Lady horror.
I'm really... Okay. Wait, let me think.
It's lady
is it just
horror.
Like to be a lady is horrifying?
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
It's kind of like feminism horror, but it's like if you're not a woman, you won't really get why this is scary for like the first half an hour.
Oh my God. You'll learn to like cooking too.
Nightmare.
There are so many lines in this that are said to the female protagonist that make my blood run cold.
Dude, like, I know.
So scary. And then they're coming out of John Goodman and you're like, I'm confused.
I'm so confused.
Why is Sully being mean? Why is Sully mad?
Oh my God. Wait, if you think that's creepy, you should see the one with Kevin James. It's called Becky. And Kevin James is a fucking stalker.
No, I don't need to see that. That sounds bad.
You know who Kevin James is, right?
Yeah, I'm surprised to hear that he's a stalker in this movie.
He's like a murderer stalker person. And like,
oh my God,
it's fucking crazy. Someone recommended it for us and I watched the trailer and I was like, I would never be able to watch anything Kevin James again.
No, we love the club for suggesting shit like that, though. You guys are awesome. I'd never find out about that if it wasn't the club.
Right? I know.
That's awesome.
It's crazy.
Okay. Back to Cloverfield. Back to the corn. So I don't know. Did you watch this when it came out? Actually, you might have.
I don't think I did. Honestly, I think I watched it when I heard your review with Horror Movie Talk.
Horror
I was
movie
like,
talk.
Ooh, this sounds intriguing. And then I watched it after your review.
And she hated it.
Not gonna say.
She's gonna give it 5 spaghettis. Yeah. That's my guess. It's like a good, like a 6. Well, I liked it. And this came out when we were in vet school.
Oh, it did?
I don't think we were friends yet. Yeah, this came out in 2016.
Oh,
and
that's early on. Yeah.
I went to go see it with Nick and Emma. And do you remember there was like a theater down the street from the vet school that had like $5 movies?
Oh, yeah. It was super cheap.
Yeah. And then on certain days, like Tuesdays.
Tuesdays.
Like so, yep. So we went on Tuesday to watch a $3 movie. We didn't know which one to watch because it was just like, okay, we have to go on a Tuesday. What's there? And I knew nothing about this movie. It had a long name.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. That's the best way to find a good movie.
Yeah, that's my favorite way. And so I was like, okay, you guys down for this, whatever this thing is. I don't know if it isn't. I don't know if it's about Cloverfield. I haven't seen Cloverfield, but maybe it's not because it's kind of a weird name.
Yeah,
let's just go see it. And we all fucking loved it.
I'm sure. It feels like a hidden gem when you stumble upon it like that.
It felt like like gold. I was like,
yeah.
Is anyone talking about this movie?
Right.
Like John Goodman is fucking slaying. He's terrifying.
Oh my God.
Why is no one talking about
the
this
part
performance?
Where he dances to the music in the
oh
jukebox?
Oh my God. In front
cringe.
Of the jukebox.
Yeah.
Ding, ding.
Jesus
Christ. He is something else.
Yeah.
But like the whole cast is really good. So like Mary Elizabeth Winstead is our main character. That's Michelle. She is a scream queen as well, not just for this movie.
Yes. Although I like to call her a remake/sequel scream queen because she seems like she's always in remakes or sequels.
Oh my God. She
but not
is.
The originals.
I'm looking at the list. Yeah. She's like, I'll wait and see if it's good.
Yeah. Final Destination 3.
Yeah, she refuses to get on the roller coaster.
Yeah, yeah. The Thing from 2011, Black Christmas from 2006, and then The Ring 2. Not The Ring.
Oh, she's in The Ring 2.
The Ring 2, yes.
She is. She's our sequel scream queen. I like that.
She also does like a lot of shit with like thrillers and action movies too, where she's like the main bitch. So I think she's more of like a thriller queen, but she dabbles.
She dabbles, she doobles. Scott Pilgrim is completely unrelated, but that's what I see when I see her face.
Yeah, fucking Scott Pilgrim.
Did you know that she's from Rocky Mount, North Carolina?
No way! I believe it.
Like,
I feel
right.
I feel like her accent comes out sometimes.
I love that. I didn't know. I love anytime we get any representation from North Carolina, even though I am not from here. I'm still proud.
She's like, I identify as North Carolina.
You made it out. You made it out. Obviously, we have John Goodman as Howard. We'll talk about Howard.
Fucking Howard.
My dad met him.
No way. In what context?
I've told this story at some point before, but like we live near New Orleans and John Goodman, he's from Missouri, but he lives in New Orleans in the Garden District because his wife is from Bogalusa. And
currently?
My dad was at the airport. Yeah. Yeah. Currently. They still live there because his wife's from like right near there. And so, yeah, my dad met him at like baggage claim at the New Orleans airport.
Oh, in the airport?
Yeah, and like went up to him and was like, hey, like I'm a big fan. He didn't know what to say. And apparently John Goodman was very nice and just
sweet.
That's
awesome.
Yeah, exactly what you want him to be. So, yeah.
Yeah, because John Goodman's like kind of a big deal. I feel like he probably
gets
like...
It would make me upset if he was mean secretly.
Yeah, but also like that's a big deal to meet. He's like a big actor.
Yeah, like I started looking at his filmography to like pull some things for this. I'm like, no, I'm not going to.
There's too much.
There's 100
Monsters,
billion.
Monsters, Inc.? Are you kidding me?
Are you joking?
Are you fucking joking
Monsters,
right now?
Inc.? Are you fucking
Monsters University?
They got Sully from Monsters University? Shit. This movie has it all.
Yeah.
We have John Gallagher Jr. who plays Emmett, and he's from Hush.
Oh, I was totally worried you had known that already. I was gonna fucking spring that shit on you. I was like, bro, because once you see it, you like can't unsee it. Like his face, like you see it only like once in Hush, and it's like so creepy.
It's so scary with this like skunk tattoo or something.
Yeah.
So we love seeing him back in a very different role. Again, John,
extremely different role. Yeah.
Emmett, very different than serial killer wearing a mask hunting a deaf woman. He's kind of nice in this one.
Kind of nice. He's kind of a nice
He's
guy.
Sweet. I don't know. I don't know. Let's give him a chance. I looked him up also whenever I watched Hush because I was like, this guy's good. Because he's like a good actor. And that sounds dumb, but like some people are good in movies, but they're not good actors.
Right.
So I looked him up. He originated the role of Moritz in Spring Awakening, like the very first one on Broadway.
Wow.
Yeah, he was off Broadway, then went to Broadway, and he won a Tony for best performance of a featured actor.
I didn't know he was Broadway.
Yeah, he that's where he came from, was Broadway.
Amazing.
And yeah, he has a Tony. So this is a stacked fucking cast, just saying.
Oh yeah, you missed one.
Bradley Cooper.
Fucking Bradley Cooper's voice. Not even Bradley Cooper, just like his voice, recorded on a cell phone. For like 2 seconds.
I literally, we paused the movie because I wanted to tell Emma something. And I go to unpause and Nick's like, by the way, that's Bradley Cooper. It has his little face up there.
Bro, I did the same thing. You watched it on Prime, I'm assuming?
I watched it on Prime.
Yeah, I did the same thing. I like paused it. Where and I was like, wait, you. I don't remember Bradley Cooper being in this fucking movie. And then I like was like, maybe Prime fucked it up. And then I Googled it. And I was like, oh my God, he is in this movie. And I was like, oh, wait, no.
It's just he's the his voice. He's on the phone for like 5 seconds.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's he's so Ben. Weird. He gets a name. Bradley plays Ben. So yeah, again, stacked cast. We love it.
Yeah. I wonder how much you got paid just for like talking for less than a minute on a phone, like recording
that. I do want to know. Well, the budget. Do you know much about the budget?
No, I don't know anything about it.
Oh my goodness. So this movie, like whenever it was first getting like produced, they wanted it to be like it was meant to be very like ultra low budget. I'm assuming Cloverfield was probably lower budget as well. I don't know. I'm assuming based on
It's
on
like
the
found footage. So like, I guess.
Yeah, I guess. So they wanted this to be very found footage. I mean, not very found footage. This is not found footage. They wanted it to be very low budget, but like secret. It was like a very secretive project.
Oh.
And so, but it kind of started getting bigger and bigger as like the ball started rolling. It was like a snowball effect. And so the budget ended up being, and keep in mind, we have John Goodman and briefly Bradley Cooper. 13-ish million dollars.
Oh, wow. That's it. I could see how that would be. Yeah. I mean, basically all they had to do was build like a single set. Maybe like two
it's
sets.
It's a very intricate set.
It's just like very low budget in regards to the set, I feel like.
Almost like a bottle episode because a lot of it takes place in a bunker.
Right.
So it's like, yeah. So like as far as like moving cameras around and having multiple like crews.
CGI. And paying the stars and that's it.
Yeah. And paying for the crew because we have Dan Trachtenberg. He's the director. He did Prey.
Oh, shit. Really? Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah. He did Prey. And J.J. Abrams produced this, which is pretty fucking cool.
I had no idea.
I didn't know that he did Cloverfield, which makes it less like of a shock. But for me, I was like, oh, my God, J.J. Abrams, because he's like a big, you know, Star Trek, Star Wars, all that shit.
Yeah. Wow. Spoiler.
But yeah, spoiler for Star Wars. But yeah, Trachtenberg was selected as the director and they named it Valencia. That was like the code name for the script for the project.
Why were they so secretive?
I don't know. Because I think they wanted people to go into it the way I did, where there was like, like they did kind of like viral advertising, kind of like the way they did for Cloverfield. They weren't like pushing trailers and stuff like that. It was like very word of mouthy and very fascinating. Like they really wanted you to not know or like not be sure. Cause that's a big component of this movie is, hey, is there a supernatural component or is this guy just trying to kill me?
Yeah. It's a lot of questions and that's one of them.
It's a lot of questions, but yeah, it's not like the way that J.J. Abrams described it is like, they wanted to make what they said, blood relative of Cloverfield.
Right. Right.
So like something
a sister,
in the
not
same
a twin.
Universe. Exactly. A sister, not a twin. Because they're like, I've only seen like the trailer of Cloverfield, but they're visibly very different movies.
Right, right. Yeah.
Plot-wise, they're very different movies.
I mean, the last 10 minutes of 10 Cloverfield Lane is like the entirety of Cloverfield. except found footage.
That's what I thought too. Okay, that was my assumption.
Yeah. It's like the premise is all of the end part.
Yeah, essentially.
Yeah.
Oh, and writers. So like this originally was a script that was written by just these two guys. They wrote the script. It was called The Cellar when they wrote it. And then whenever it got picked up, they gave the script to this guy named Damien Chazelle, and he rewrote it. And I was like, wait, I feel like I've seen that name somewhere. And so he was also going to direct the movie, but he had to pull out because he got funding for a different project.
Okay.
A little project called Whiplash.
Oh, Whiplash.
Yeah. This bitch wrote and directed Whiplash, which was nominated for an Oscar.
Was Mary Elizabeth Winstead, was she in Whiplash? Because I feel like I could see her being in something like that.
No, she wasn't. No, okay. Really the only big name was J.K. Simmons, I think, at that point.
The only big name? What are you talking about? In Whiplash?
In Whiplash, yeah.
Wasn't...
When it came out.
No, wasn't Elliot Page in Whiplash? Am I crazy?
Are you thinking of, like, Whip It? Like,
Whip
the
It!
Roller
I'm
derby
thinking
that,
of Whip It! No. What's... Wait, what's Whiplash?
Whiplash, you uncultured swine.
Hold up. I was thinking of Whip It.
Yeah, you would never have watched Whiplash, a movie about a drummer in a conservatory in New York.
Oh, okay.
It doesn't scream Ariana, but it's a very good movie and you would like it. But yeah, okay. It was nominated for an Oscar for Best Picture. And yeah, the rewriter, I guess, wrote.
You're like J.K. Simmons.
That.
I'm like, what?
J.K. Simmons.
I was like, he's definitely not.
This
in
is
that.
Giving Gary Oldman, Gene Hackman right now. That's what.
Whip It, Whiplash, whatever the fuck. I don't know.
Well, let's see if you've heard of this one. He also wrote and directed a little movie called La La Land.
Haven't heard of it.
Never heard of her.
Never heard of her.
So JK. This guy, that's pretty that cool. Means that he, it's pretty fucking cool considering like how this is like a total genre movie and very cool that he can write something like this. And also these are all very different movies.
I do feel like though this movie is very emphasis on character. And that movie's also very emphasis on character. So I feel like I could see the similarities for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. He's just a good fucking writer.
Right.
So, yeah, he wrote and directed La La Land. That got nominated for literally 14 Oscars. That was the funniest moment of the Oscars. I don't know if you don't watch the Oscars. It's hilarious sometimes. They called out the wrong movie for
oh,
Best
fuck.
Picture.
Oh, that's the
Moonlight
worst.
Moonlight won, but they called out La La Land.
Oh, wait, I did hear about this. Oh, my God.
It was really embarrassing. It's something I think
wait,
about
how did
time.
They fuck that up?
They had the wrong envelope, and I think the envelope said Emma Stone in it, and it was meant for a different...
Oh, shit.
And then one of the people was like, it says Emma Stone, I don't know. And then the other one just snatched it and went, it's La La Land. Like, why can't you read between the lines? Clearly, they meant La La.
Clearly. Oh, no.
Instead of waiting for 2 seconds before an entire cast and crew climbed aboard the stage. The wrong one. Embarrassing. Hilarious.
That's horrible.
But, you know, at least that night, this writer, Damien Chazelle, he won Best Director. And he was that made him at the time, and I think still, the youngest director to ever win. He was only 32.
Oh, wow. Damn. Good for him. That's
awesome.
That's
who's writing this movie, you guys. That's why I fucking love this shit. Because I love character-driven shit.
Same.
I love stuff with a good story.
Yeah.
I'm here for a story over anything else.
We're entertained. We're entertained the entire time in this movie, for
the
sure.
The whole time you're entertained. Yep. Another reason to love this movie is it's set in New Orleans.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
How did you? Yeah. It's set in New Orleans. Well, it's set like outside of New Orleans, but she in the beginning of the movie is in New Orleans and is like leaving and on like the outskirts whenever everything happens.
Yeah. Usually I do look up like where is this meant to be so I can get like a good idea of things. But interesting. Wait, how was I supposed to know that? You were like, yeah, duh. How was I supposed to know that?
Well, they say it in the beginning and then there's road signs at the end.
At the end, yeah. When they're talking about like Baton Rouge, I was like, I don't really know where this is, but they're in the South.
The literal capital of Louisiana.
No, I know,
okay.
I know what Baton Rouge is. I was just like, where are they? Because there's corn growing. And I'm like, where does corn grow in the South?
There's corn, yeah. Yeah, why isn't there an alligator in the
I'm
road?
Confused.
I don't think this is right.
I'm confused.
I'm confused.
Not real.
Well, it was filmed, it was filmed, I think, in New Orleans for parts of it, but it was also like the explosion-y, fiery bits. That was all like just north, I think, in Hanville. So for my Louisiana people, represent.
Oh.
We love it.
Okay.
That's all I got.
Kate identifies as being from Louisiana, Mississippi, and North Carolina.
Yes. They're all mine. They're and no one else all can have Kate's. Them. I want to tell you the box office, though, now that I've talked about the budget. Amazing. And like who
you
we
said
got 13 on this
million
budget.
Was the budget?
Mm-hmm. 13 okay. million budget.
Okay.
Do you want to guess?
I'm going to say 50.
Okay. You're $110 like, million.
Oh,
dollars.
Oh, fuck. Really?
Yeah, you weren't expecting that because nobody talks about this movie.
Holy $110
shit. $110 million on a $13 million budget.
Why? Why does no one talk about this movie?
I don't think she likes it. She just said, why?
Why do? No, I said, why does no one talk
oh,
about
yeah,
it?
Oh, yeah.
Like, if people are watching it, why aren't people talking about it? I thought it was just like people
know.
Hadn't watched it.
Yeah, so that's what I thought, too. I was shocked. I don't know how it did critically because I actually really did stay away from that. And I didn't care. But I don't care because I love this movie, but I am excited to see. I assume that you know. Don't tell me.
What? I know that you love it?
Like the Rotten Tomatoes of...
Oh, I do. I do know them. Yes.
Okay, don't tell me. Don't tell me. Okay, don't tell me.
Yeah, I won't
I hope you. It's good because I love this movie and I'm very... I was really proud when I did that research and I was like, yes, look at that box office. Look at that ROI.
Look at him go.
So proud of a return on investment. So yeah. For comparison, y'all, we just covered The Menu. So again...
Fuck that movie,
first of all. Second of all, Cloverfield, just to recap, budget $13 to $15 million, box office $110 million. For The Menu, budget $30 million, no John Goodman anywhere. Box office $79.6 million.
Yeah. So like doubling it for a horror movie, I feel like is good. It's like, okay.
Yeah. Doubling it is like good
average.
Job. Yeah. Well done. Yeah. Like a studio will probably stay interested in you.
Yeah. So that's seven times more. That's like 6 to 7 times more. That's crazy.
That's an insane amount of money for what they paid. So yes, good return on investment. Good for them. Good for her. Well, enough. That's all I have to say about the movie. Do you have anything that you need to say? Anything
no.
you need to get out of your system?
Do you have any bulletins for me?
Oh, club bulletins. Shuffle. I need to get a gavel. All right. Before we dive into the story, welcome back, club members. We love you. We miss you. Where have you been? And if it's your first time, welcome. Come on in. Make yourself cozy. By listening, you are automatically a club member. We're excited to have you here. And there are no dues for this club at all. None. $0. Just have to have a Spotify subscription or something like that. And you can be a club officer if you support us on Patreon. And that helps you get to vote for the movie that wins and that we get to review. So thank you to all of my lovely club officers, my Patreons who voted for this movie. Well done. Good job. And also, I love you.
And
that's
also,
my club bulletins. Also love you, mean it. But yeah, our club officers are like really dope. I really like them. So yeah.
They make some good recommendations.
And thank you for letting me just like pick a movie that I wanted to talk about. That's really cool. And I appreciate it. Now I'm going to talk about it. We ready?
Yay. Yes. Tell me what happens. I want to relive it.
Okay. So you guys are going to have to stay with me because this movie gets fast at times. So
yeah, again, it's like four
and
movies
in one. And if
I say
every single thing that happens, we will be here for 4 hours. So let's start with the title, 10 Cloverfield Lane. Great movie, terrible name. We can acknowledge that.
I like it because it has the word Cloverfield in it. How else could they possibly put Cloverfield in it?
It's just such a mouthful, isn't it?
Eh. I like it. I like it.
All right. Well, if Ariana likes it, then I like it. So let's see. Let's start with the beginning. So it is March 2016. We are in New Orleans. Michelle, our protagonist, that girl from Final Destination 3, she's upset. She is packing a suitcase. She leaves behind an engagement ring?
A gorgeous engagement ring, solitaire, emerald cut, at least 1.5 carats.
Classy.
Bradley Cooper. Brought it.
Does not skimp. Yeah.
He doesn't.
So she is, she takes her ring off. She grabs a bottle of scotch and she's got to go. She's leaving. So she's driving out of town, driving through rural Louisiana now, which is very different and scary in a different way than urban New Orleans in Louisiana. Scary as shit. And she's driving through the swamps. Ben keeps calling her. She's looking at her phone. She's looking up. Oh, what does he want? Boom. She gets fucking smacked. Her car gets spun out of control.
Fucking
off
railed
bridge.
Off the side of the road.
Ooh, by some car or something. She's like she's flipping. She's screaming.
Yeah,
she
it's kind of scary.
Fucking cold. Yeah, it's a lot. Like for an intro, it's just like like jump scare.
It is a jump scare. And then they use that opportunity to like do the title cards, which I like. It was like very good timing.
The title card was good.
Very like 2000s. I was here for it.
Yeah, it is a bit 2000s in like a nostalgic way.
Yeah.
We love it. All right. But she comes too, right? So Michelle's waking up in a bad situation. This is not where you want to wake up after a car accident. Oh, she is in what appears to be an underground dungeon of sorts.
Oof. Think barbarian.
Think barbarian. Think that little room with the camera in it. Think that. That's where she is.
Yeah.
Only it's worse because she has a knee brace on. That like it's like a knee brace slash
cuff?
Handcuff? It's a knee cuff?
Yeah. It's really weird.
It's like an apparatus, like an iron lung type apparatus thing that she can't get out of that's like attached to a pole or what was it?
But she also like fucked up her knee in the crash. And so she like, the brace is real. It's just that it has like these weird things that it's like chaining her to the bed somehow. I don't understand it.
Distressing and confusing.
Yeah, yeah.
So she doesn't like that. But I love this because she wastes no time going into final girl mode. So she has an IV in her arm. It's super weird. She has an IV. She's getting fluids. She's on this like dirty mattress. She's chained to the wall and she like takes the IV and uses it as
also
like
she's not wearing pants. That's also really concerning. No pants.
Concerning. Pants are not on. Pantsless. Yeah, that's a problem. Pantsless in the dungeon. The sex dungeon. Oh, no. So she grabs her IV, like, I don't know what to say, like pole, IV pole, whatever. And she like uses it as like a extender to like try to get to the door. What is she? I don't know what she's doing.
Her phone.
Oh, her phone. But it's broken, of course.
It doesn't have service.
No service because we're in a dungeon.
Yeah. So anyone who says this is not a horror movie is not a woman. I'm just kidding.
Like, yeah, thank you. Honestly.
Like there's for some reason, people have this like idea that this is not a horror movie. Like that's like a thing people talk about on the internet. And I'm like,
yes,
oh, it's because you don't know what women fear. This is,
you're not,
this is a number one fear of every woman that has ever existed. That's 50% of the population. So this is a horror movie.
This is 100. Thank you. Cause like whenever I rented it, it's like, it's a sci-fi. It's a, this, it's like a super, it's like, no.
Nope.
This is horrible. I'm horrified.
I am horrified.
I was like, did you miss the dungeon? Did you miss all that?
She wakes up in a sex dungeon. Did you miss that?
Don't love it. Horror movie. But then we, she's like, I think she like sharpens. Wait, no, I don't know what she's doing at this point.
She does. Oh, yeah. She does make a shiv out of her crutch immediately.
Not yet, though. She doesn't have crutches yet because Howard comes in first. Meet Howard.
Uh-huh.
Howard comes in and like unchains her. And like essentially tells her like, hey, is not reassuring. Is like, all right, you need to put your fluids back in. Like, here's the key to your like knee brace or whatever. Also, there's been an apocalypse. Everybody's dead. You're never getting out of here. Your boyfriend's dead. Gotta go.
The usual abductor shit.
Just drops that on her.
And anyone who's into true crime knows that there's like so many examples of abductors that will like keep women in bunkers that like tell them that the world ended and they're like, you have to stay down here. Like Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt.
Oh my God, that really happens?
Oh yeah. There's like multiple.
Oh my God, that's really scary.
Yeah, that's the whole point.
Oh, I see how it ties in now. Thank you for explaining.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That is fucking wild. Okay. What's wilder though is the fact that he leaves. She is able to pull her skinny jeans over her knee brace.
Yeah.
Impressive.
Those are some real skinny jeans. She doesn't even have to jump that much.
No, she just shimmies her little willowy ass into them. And Howard also like threw some crutches at her and is like, you're going to need to know how to use these. The world's ended. Bye. And so she's like, cool. Thanks for the shiv, bro. Starts whittling a little shiv out of the crutch.
Yeah.
Is standing at the door waiting for him to come in so she can fucking ambush him.
Yeah.
But he's not coming. And so she's like, okay, well, I can't just stand here like an idiot all day. So she makes a fire. She lights a fire and puts it in the vent by using her shiv. Bananas.
This is stupid. I feel like this part is dumb. I'm with her up to that point. I'm like, maybe don't start a fire in a room you're locked in. I don't know.
Would 100% start a fire.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Because like, kill me now. Am I right?
Kate's like,
I wouldn't try to escape. I would be like huffing the fumes.
How can I die faster?
I need to die faster than what's going to happen. So goodbye. But she's stronger than I am. So she like successfully like, or almost, oh, she does good. She tries to attack Howard as he walks in because there's smoke, the smoke alarm's going off. And she's unsuccessful. So now this is where John Goodman explains to her what the situation is. And is like, you don't understand. You do not need to be attacking me, even though I chained you up. You need to be grateful. Like, what's going on up there? I don't know if it's like the government. I don't know if it's like the Russians that are working on some crazy shit. But, you know, it could be Martians also.
Bro, it's like it's such a perfect way that they write John Goodman's character to just like toe the line where you're like, are you smart or are you a psycho? Like, you can't tell.
Correct.
He like rambles and you're like, I can't tell if you're just like a really smart guy who made this bunker or if you're like an
actually
absolute
just crazy making
yeah.
this shit the fuck up. Yeah. And he does say, he's like, I have to like admit to you like the reason that you're here, I did like take you, but I didn't abduct you. What happened is whenever news of, you know, something devastating, the apocalypse, whatever happened, like he was driving away in his truck and accidentally hit her.
Yeah.
And she was unconscious. And so he didn't have time. He had to grab her and bring her and cuff her in his underground bunker.
Yeah. Maybe let's wonder why he cuffed her. Like, all of this is,
let's talk about
all
that.
Of this is fair. Everything he said is fair. Mm-hmm. Did you have to chain mm-hmm. her to the bed? No. Sorry.
Why does the door lock from the outside?
Exactly.
Though?
Why does this mm-hmm. room exist that is like a little dungeon?
Mm-hmm. Because Howard is all about fucking power.
Yeah. Control.
That is his MO, power and control. And it's very scary coming from a big man like John Goodman.
Yep. Yep.
He successfully is like, I'm scared.
He is a perfect voice for this. He's a perfect
yes.
actor for this. And he's perfect physically because I'm like
yes.
looking at him like this is.
He is imposing.
Yeah. He's an imposing dude. So you're like,
yeah, like you got to use your brains, babe.
Yeah.
You're not going to. This isn't some frail old guy.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
This is a big man. This is a big man with a plan. And
ex-military.
Essentially, he tells her. Ex-military, of course.
Ugh.
And she hasn't really seen much of this bunker that he's so proud of because she's still like chained up on IV fluids. But he also like explains, like, I don't know exactly if it was Russians or Martians or whatever, but there was like massive poisoning. The air outside is legit poisoned. Everyone out there is dead who didn't make it to a bunker like us. We're so lucky. Your whole family is dead, but you're alive. Aren't you so happy? Isn't that great?
There are literally so many stories that are exactly like this, Kate. Like people...
I'm so scared.
Yes. So it actually happens, IRL.
That's really scary.
I know.
Okay, well, new layer to the fear. Okay, great. So everyone's dead. Add us to the list. we give her some time to figure that out and grieve everyone she's ever known. And now we get a tour of the bunker, which is very nice. So, wow, this is a pretty fucking sweet bunker. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, it's pretty nice.
You start to see his side pretty quickly.
Puzzles and books and DVDs and
DVDs.
A jukebox. And
we have electricity. We have
kitchen.
Food everywhere.
Yeah.
We have a kitchen. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
We have a bathroom with a shower. It's pretty fucking sick. And Howard is like very proud of himself. Like,
yeah,
he's it's kind of strange how proud he is considering the circumstances, but he was like, yeah, other people just weren't prepared. It's like prepper horror. We didn't say that.
prepper horror
for sure. So yeah, he's like, show some appreciation. Oh, also, by the way, my name's Howard. He's so scary.
Yeah.
And also a quick note about the DVDs. I've legit started collecting those just in case.
Oh my God. All the streaming services. We can't have internet anymore.
It's like, or I can't fucking afford it anymore. You know what I mean? Because everything's getting so expensive. I was going to donate these huge boxes of DVDs and Austin was over, my brother, and he was like, wait, what if?
That's a good point. Also, do you have like, how do you play it? Do you have like a.
On my Xbox.
Oh, okay.
Because I have an original Xbox. So I'm set. If I can get electricity, I'm going to be playing fucking Halo.
You need a generator.
Yeah, I know. I need a lot of things that I need everything. I don't have anything. I have water and I have DVDs ready, prepared, like a Girl Scout. So we've gotten a tour of the bunker. We also get to meet Emmett. So Emmett is also here. He is the other person in the bunker. And he's like in a sling and Howard's being like super mean to him. He's sitting there just snacking on goldfish, though. He's not taking it to heart.
Yeah, he's a simple guy.
He's like, yo, you want some goldfish?
A simple, nice guy.
He's at a different level of this like process than our protagonist.
Right.
Yeah, than Michelle. So, yeah, he's like, hey, I'm Emmett. Yeah, like I eat goldfish. And also whenever during Hurricane Katrina, like that was like the highlight was like what snacks I was eating.
Goldfish.
Like I had an orange Shasta that I still remember. It was like a warm orange soda and it was like the most delicious thing.
Oh, yum.
That I had ever, because we didn't have power for like 2 weeks. I was only there for a week, but yeah. Like it becomes like the food, the snacks, what we're eating today, what MRE we're looking forward to. So yeah, him like eating goldfish like in like the kitchen area was like, yeah, I'm like, yeah, that's legit. That's where it's at. Got to pass the time somehow. We got 1 to 2 years, Howard says.
Oh, my God. What a nightmare. But also, you don't have to work for 2 years. I don't know. It's kind of a...
I don't know. You said we have enough food.
Yeah.
You said we have DVDs.
I would go crazy. I would probably go crazy.
I would go crazy.
Without work.
I would enjoy it for like a day, though. Maybe two.
I would enjoy it for probably like a couple months. Then I'd go fucking nuts.
I would do the quizzes like Emmett does in all the 17 magazines.
All the 17 magazines, yeah. Emmett's so legit. Cute. Learn how to
Emmett's
French braid.
Legit.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's like, I'm a winter. We love Emmett. He's so cute.
Yes.
All right, now we get to like have interactions between John Goodman and Emmett and Michelle. And we get to kind of get the family vibe going. We start that with no touching.
Oh, my God. Crazy.
Howard does not want these two touching. He doesn't want them to have like an inappropriate relationship. Like he's like, it's weird. You get that vibe immediately.
So like she like is on crutches and she like does a little bit of a stumble and Emmett like catches her because he's like, oh shit, are you falling? And like catches her arm.
That's what you're supposed to do.
And fucking Howard loses his mind and he's like, no touching.
Like, don't touch her.
And like, we, the audience, already have like vibes. So we're like, something's fucked. Like, we don't know why Howard is doing what he's doing. Like, what are his ulterior motives? Like, is this going to be like a sexual thing? Like, we're all like literally holding our breaths. And then
terrified.
It's horrible. Cause then at that point, you're like, oh, something's fucked. Like, is it like he's just a reasonable guy who doesn't want to be stuck in a bunker for the apocalypse with another couple and be a third wheel for 2 years? Like, maybe. But also, maybe. Is he trying to fuck? Like, who knows?
Or is he... Yeah. Like, what are the motives here?
Right. Right.
All of them are bad. I can't see a good one.
Yeah.
Although, we kind of get a little bit of a, like, okay, like, that's the thing. The whole movie, we're getting like, okay, he's bad. Okay, no, he's good. Okay, he's bad. Okay, no, he's right. No, he's wrong. So that we get this moment of after the no touching where you're like, oh, maybe he's not so bad. He brings some new clothes to what's her name?
Michelle.
Oh, yeah. It's because Michelle makes a run for it at that point. It doesn't she?
Yes. So we're at the kitchen table now and she notices that John Goodman has keys and she like does like a little bit of like a flirt with Emmett to try to get John Goodman to like move and create chaos so that she could steal the keys. And John Goodman, of course, gets up in her face because he's like a looming presence.
So fucking scary.
And yells at her and yells at Emmett. And while he's like super close to her, she like steals his keys and then like grabs like a glass bottle and smashes him over the head and then like makes a run for it and like almost gets out. But then we see the woman, which is important, right? Like we see this lady who... Like right before she gets out the second door at the top of the bunker, like she sees this like older woman like banging on the door, like, let me in. And she's like, the fuck? Because at this point she has like little to no evidence that anything that they've been saying is true. And
no, she thinks he's crazy and she's worried about Emmett. And she's like, why? Like she thinks that
because Emmett
doesn't sling. She's on crutches. Like this guy's psycho, right?
Right, right. She's like, I'm not feeling safe. Also, like, Emmett does support John Goodman's story about there being an apocalypse, yeah. but all he says is like, I saw Flash too. And she's like, oh, it just could have been lightning. Like,
could have been anything.
Right. And so she runs to the top of the stairs. She's like, these boys are just like fucked. Like, I'm getting out of here. And she sees someone trying to get in. And this lady has like this disgusting like skin problem, and she's like, oh, like it just touched me for a second, like I'm not sick,
she
like
looks
let
like
me
fucking
in
Two-Face, like right. Harvey Dent ass, like right. melted,
yeah,
and that's when Michelle is like, she
maybe
like
I'll stay in here
she's like asking Howard, she's like, there's a woman here, like what do I do? And he's like, don't let her in.
Yeah, he's like screaming, it's chaotic. And then
and the
we all
like,
realize
no, it's fine,
we're like,
it's fine.
Okay. So like, we're all on Howard's side a little bit more at this point. We're like, okay, maybe he's telling the truth.
The
maybe
woman
he's
starts slamming her head into the window.
Yeah. She's trying to break it.
When she doesn't. Yeah. She's trying to break in with her literal skull.
Yeah.
And we also then find out that Emmett hurt his arm trying to get into the bunker.
Right. Right.
Not trying to leave.
See, all of these things could Ooh. Have been prevented if Howard had gone about telling her in a little bit of a better way, a little bit of like a more yeah. emotionally mature and empathetic way. Like, let's yeah. realize that she's not going to believe you. Let's not just like assume she's going to let you control her and assume that she's going to like, he has no idea the thoughts that are going on in her head. And he's just like, yeah, why yeah. are you not believing me? Like, I'm telling you these things. And he's just like so socially dumb.
It's because you like slam me against the wall for kind of flirting at dinner and
yeah.
told me to behave.
yeah. That,
for one.
Yeah. He's just
a knee brace for two.
He's yeah. And I feel like she doesn't believe him. And it's like, well, of course she doesn't, because you're not really giving her all the information she needs.
No.
Also, you have literal abusive tendencies. So.
So, yeah, if I was putting my eggs in a basket, I would probably put it outside.
Right.
Until the woman. And the woman, you're like, okay, I don't know what the fuck to believe anymore.
Yeah.
She settles into it. So, like, now we're like, okay, the air is poisoned. Cool, cool, cool. I understand. He makes her take a shower just in case, like, any of the air, like, touched her skin.
Right.
And then he gives her a stack of women's clothes that aren't hers. And he's like, oh, yeah, those were Megan's. But he's also like, but don't talk about Megan.
Yeah, he, like, tells her a little bit about Megan. Then she, like, asks questions. He's like, don't worry about it.
He's like, that's my daughter. Shut up. Don't ask anything about Megan. Those yeah. are Megan's. She loved Paris.
And then he, like, shows a picture of a little tween girl. And she's wearing yeah. little cute earrings. And he's like, look, this is my daughter. And my wife turned her against me. And they moved to Chicago. And now everyone's dead. And she's like, oh.
And now they're probably dead.
It's so sad.
Sorry for you. And she's kind of being sweet to him.
She
she's
is
like,
sweet.
They could be alive.
See, that's why he's socially fucked. Because she's like, they could still be alive. Like, she's trying to, like, comfort him. And he's like, meh.
Don't bring up Megan.
Yeah.
And then he makes her put stitches in the gash in his head from her smashing him in the head with a bottle.
Yeah.
Which I think is fair.
Yeah.
And she's a seamstress. So, like, she does a really good job, obviously.
That's how that works, so, by the way.
That's how that works.
Skin is basically
so,
fabric. It's fine.
It's the same thing. I
it's
mean,
the
I
same.
Feel like, you know, you sew it shut. It's cool.
Same, same.
Same, same, but different. So, yeah, now we got like that. We're like a whole ass happy family, right?
Yeah.
We're like getting, we have a montage moment. So I think we're
it's
alone
cute.
Now, which
yeah.
we're absolutely playing at the end of this episode.
Yes.
Ariana texted that to me and I was like, way ahead of you, girl.
It's a great one. That's the one that he dances this, to.
Yeah, he does a little dance. Yeah. yeah. But yeah, so the bunker's looking pretty sweet now. Like, oh, we're watching DVDs. We're watching 16 Candles. We're making puzzles that have like pieces missing. Everything's fine. It's cool. And who knows how much time has passed at this point. But then the air ventilation system stops, like it fails, it breaks.
Right.
And we also hear what might be.
Yeah, they like hear a noise from above.
A noise outside.
Sounds like helicopters maybe. And
maybe.
Howard's like ex-Navy. So he's like, yeah, sounds like helicopters, like maybe the military, but not our military based on the
but
sound.
But not ours, yeah.
And like since there was like a loud crashing noise, like after that, the air filtration system broke.
It's broken and we're confused.
They're so, running out of air.
They don't have any air. So obviously the way you fix the air filter, the off on switch, I guess, is like up a couple of vents, just like back behind some vents in like a secret room. Obviously, that's where you
obviously.
Keep your. Yeah. And John Goodman can't fit in the vent, obviously. I'm so confused about this part. I'm like, that's the only thing, that's the only beef I have, is that I'm confused bunker-wise, like blueprint-wise. Why it doesn't matter. Why is the unit there?
I mean, there is an exit that's up into the, like, I'm sure, like, it,
oh, I
the
see,
way he
I
created
see.
It is that there is an exit. He just doesn't want to have to go outside to go do it.
Yes, I understand. He didn't anticipate the poison.
Right.
Yeah. Specifically. All right, that's fair. He planned for a lot, so that's fair. So Michelle, full claustrophobia style, has to like army crawl through this air vent duct system to find the control room. She fixes the filtration system and she sees like an emergency exit, kind of like an what are they called? Like on the roof, on the ceiling or whatever.
Yeah, like a latch that goes out into the world.
Yeah. What? Yeah, a latch, like a door.
Yeah, like a door.
Like a door.
A door. Someone
and
call it a door.
She is looking and she sees it's padlocked. Obviously, it's locked. But she sees that someone has scratched the word help backwards from the inside. And she finds an earring with blood on it. And it's worse because it's a specific earring that was heavily featured in a photograph of Megan.
This
is Megan's earring.
Megan, the daughter?
What?
Howard's daughter?
So the twists keep twisting. So she like goes up to Emmett. Now we're off of Howard's side. How quickly we trade sides.
Yep.
We're like, all right, maybe not. And she goes to Emmett and is like, this is what I think is going on. I think he killed his daughter. And Emmett's like, that's not his daughter.
Yeah. She like shows him the picture that like John Goodman had showed her. She's like, look, the daughter is the same earring. And he's like, oh, yeah, that's actually a girl I recognize. And that's not his daughter.
That's a girl who went missing 2 years ago.
Oops.
Actually. Oh, horror. You're going to tell me this isn't horror? This is horror.
I know.
Oh, my God. So he's like, that's a girl. That's a local girl who went missing. So how about we get the fuck out of here? What do you think?
Yeah, let's go. Time to go.
Let's go. It's time to go. So they start. I think this is really smart. Emmett goes up to Howard and is like trying to be as casual as he can. And is like, hey, I'm just a little worried about the shower curtain being contaminated from her showering after she might have been exposed to air through the cracks when she was trying to leave. So like, I don't know, just a thought. And that bothers Howard because he has OCD and he takes the shower curtain, tosses it down the garbage chute. Yeah, they have a garbage chute. Oh my God.
Yeah, where does it all go? Who knows?
Wild. I don't know. Doesn't matter. But this ain't going anywhere because they use their little IV hook thing from Act One to pull that shit out of there.
Yeah.
And now we got fabric. So
now we have an impenetrable fabric with a duck on it.
Waterproof, water resistant duck fabric.
Waterproof duck fabric for the apocalypse. Let's build a hazmat suit.
We have that in duct tape and that's it. So figure it out.
And scissors.
And Emmett does manage. Yeah, Emmett steals scissors by hiding them in his little cast, which is his sling, which I think is really clever. So yeah, they're obviously trying to make a hazmat suit, which is pretty badass, that she's like, yeah, I'm a seamstress, so I'm just going to fucking make it. And she's like sketching it on like the 17 magazines and
okay,
on the models.
Yeah. All right.
Get a whole montage of it. So yeah.
Also, he has like a million books about like how to survive the apocalypse, like down in the bunker with them. And they find something that tells them how to make a homemade air filtration.
Yes.
Mask.
Like a gas mask.
Gas
yeah.
mask. Yeah.
Which, yeah, I want to know how to make one of those too.
I
honestly
know.
I would have made that in plain sight and been like, we are probably going to need these. But I don't know.
That's a good point.
Howard might not have been cool with that because Howard doesn't seem to be in a big rush to leave. From what I can see.
Yeah, it's a good point. I feel like if he was really that smart, he would have like packed biohazard suits and put them in the bunker just in case. Like what if
just in case. Yeah.
What if something happens? What if there's a fire and you have to leave, you know?
Not that smart, are you, Howard? With your
dumbass.
Fully functioning den. You have a den and a kitchen, multi-room bunker with like carpet and working lights. But yeah, he's pretty dumb. I'm not going to lie. Should I get a gas mask? All right, I'll get a gas mask.
I think we should start stocking up on
gas
everything.
Masks. Got it. All right, everything. Noted. Bread and milk. You know, the
milk.
Usual. That's what everybody gets whenever there's like a storm. Bread and
milk. No, they get water. You can't get milk. You're going to lose power.
Don't look at me. Everyone, when there's a hurricane, gets bread and milk. I don't know why.
Everyone in Florida gets bread and water.
Well, that's because they're a little bit smarter. They've seen a hurricane or two. Yeah. All right, so we're making a hazmat suit. But here's the problem. Howard calls a little family meeting. And he found the scissors. Uh-oh.
Ruh-roh.
And he wants to know what the fuck is going on. They try to kind of lie their way out of it. And he's like, no, you misunderstand. He pulls out a barrel of perchloric acid.
Yep.
Explains that this will dissolve any really organic material. It'll dissolve any shit. Anything I want to put in here, it's going to get dissolved. Drops the scissors in. It's like, do you get it? Do you get what I'm saying? Emmett immediately jumps to the rescue. And this is kind of scary how he uses this tactic to manipulate him. Like what he says specifically is so targeted at Howard.
I know, it's fucked.
He says, he's like, I was doing it. I wanted her to respect me as much as you.
He was like, I was using the scissors to make a weapon Michelle will respect me because she just respects you so much.
Because she respects you so much. And that speaks to Howard. And he's like,
makes
a lot of sense. Of course, that makes a lot of sense. He's like, I'm sorry. And Howard accepts his apology and then immediately shoots him point blank in the face.
Yeah.
Holy shit, this movie. All right. So then Michelle is like
shitting her pants. What the
shitting her pants.
Yeah.
Howard is trying to like comfort her, which is horrifying.
Yeah.
He's like trying to hug her and he's like, it's okay.
He's like, it's okay. It's just us now.
Shh. It's just us now. This is the way it was always meant to be.
Don't tell me this isn't a horror movie.
Don't even waste your breath. Horrifying. They're going to be a family of two now. It's fine. And you're like, am I the daughter? Am I the
lover?
Your wife? Your girlfriend? And there is a moment that I forgot, which is whenever I do want to bring up this specific moment because it's fantastic. Earlier, they're playing a board game. They're playing like Taboo or something. And it's Howard's turn and he's got to be scary about it.
Of course.
And he gives a really creepy thing. But then Emmett is trying to get him to guess Little Women.
Mm-hmm.
And he's pointing to Michelle. And
he's like, Howard's little like, oh, point.
A little girl. Little princess.
Yeah. Little child. This bitch is like in her late 20s.
And they're just like looking at him like confused.
They're like, what?
Excuse me? Little girl. Little... And I just thought that was very scary. Fucking scary. And then only made more scary about him. I see what you're doing. I'm always watching as a way of trying to get them to guess Santa.
Totally got Santa right away. I was like, oh, he's talking about Santa.
I didn't. I was terrified of him the whole time. He's scary in this movie for me. So yeah, shot Emmett in the face. We're going to be a family of two, baby girl. Don't even worry about it. She like composes herself as fast as she can and gets back to work on the fucking suit.
She's like, I gotta go now.
That's a shame, but this suit ain't gonna duct tape itself.
And it does suck because he was like her friend. He was like her confidant. Like they shared stories. Like he told her about how he wanted to go to college, but he was too nervous. And she told him about her abusive dad in her childhood. Like they were close friends and she just like watched him get shot.
Just boom. Trying to protect her.
Yeah.
And no time. Moving right along. No time to grieve. No time to process.
Right. Kate's like, I need time to process.
Pause. Yeah. Let's all just take a moment to grieve Emmett.
Okay. Kate's like, if it were you. No.
If it were you, I would jump in the acid.
I would be like, so honestly, upset if you got shot in the face.
I would jump into the acid together. That would suck because it does dissolve, but not like that. Not quickly.
Yeah, not great.
Anyway, would you not jump in the acid? What would you would make a suit?
Oh, I'll tell you what I would do at the end. I wouldn't be in this position.
Oh, shit. Okay. Bold, but let's. All right. I think she's doing pretty good, but okay. So Michelle, she's like back to work making the suit. Unfortunately, Howard like comes in. She like shoves the suit underneath the bed where she's keeping it. The mattress bed is a strong term. The dirty floor mattress she's been sleeping on.
Yeah.
And Howard sees like a little tiny bit of the fabric and he's mad.
He grabs her head, like her hair on her head, and like throws her by her head.
It's so scary. it's so, men are so scary.
Up to this point, we're like, does Howard want to smash? No.
Right.
Does he want her to play some role as like his daughter or some shit like that? Sure. But then is he going to be like an asshole and abusive? And the answer is yes. And we see him physically abuse her in this scene and it's horrible.
Yes. It's scary. And it's what you knew was going to happen. Like, right. That's why we've been hiding all this shit as best as we can. So at this point, she's like, now or never. And so she fucking grabs it. She's like fighting her way out, knocking over can't paint cans on him, all this shit. She goes back and she's like running and we see Emmett again. Oh, my God. Emmett is just floating in the vat of acid.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. It's so horrifying. No time to process. You got to keep running because John Goodman is behind you and he's mad. It ends with the acid like hitting an electric wire. We get an electric fire. She manages to like make it out, essentially. Makes it out, like puts the mask on as fast as you can, shuts the door. John Goodman's trapped in there and hopefully he's on fire.
And if not, he's partially dissolved by acid.
Eh. Yeah, he's Phantom of the Opera melted.
Yeah.
So she like runs a little further. We get a massive explosion from the bunker. We're like, okay, definitely dead. Got it.
He did.
Okay, so the threat is gone. Or is it?
Dun, dun.
Dun, dun. She's finally outside. She's freaking out that she's breathed in the air. And she looks up and she sees like a migration of geese.
Right.
She's like, huh.
She's like, wow, the geese are alive.
Huh. So she like hesitantly takes off her gas mask.
But also like, don't take the gas mask. Maybe wait for a little bit more evidence that the air is clean.
I don't know. I'd be like, dumb. This is uncomfortable. I'm taking it off.
Dumb. He's like, I don't like
issues.
It. I spend so much time and energy making it, but I don't like it.
I don't like it anymore.
It's uncomfortable.
I'm uncomfy. No, I'd probably rip that shit off for sure. I'd be like, awesome. If they can do it, I can do it. Birds with their little delicate like air sacs, though. You know what I mean? They're like really sensitive lungs.
It might have to do with like the. Well, I don't want to give it away. Never mind. Okay. Go ahead.
How dare you?
Keep talking about
it. All right.
Well, see what
happens
next.
She's like, oh, what? Because like the whole question, the whole movie is Howard crazy psycho or is there actually a fucking apocalypse going on? And you never thought it could be both.
You're like, oh, it's both. Got it.
It's fucking both. Fantastic. And keep in mind, I went into this. I didn't know anything about Cloverfield. I didn't know that there was going to be aliens in this fucking movie. So this threw me for a fucking loop when I watched it.
Did you really? I'm sure it did.
I had no idea. I had no idea. I paid $3.
Oh, my God.
And I
God.
Walked in blind.
I'm sure you loved this shit, blind. Kate. I'm sure you fucking... Yeah. Loved
it was
it.
The best experience of my life.
I'm sure you were fully erect the entire movie.
I was levitating out of my chair when this shit happens. Because y'all know I love drama. You know I love a thriller. I love the scary shit.
Yeah.
I love character development, but I also love a creature.
And a twist.
Creature.
And a fucking
and I
twist.
I love a twist.
Yeah.
Oh, I love a
so
twist.
So many twists Can't and turns.
Get, ooh. Twists and an IV over here. Delicious. Mm. Yeah. Slurping them up. And my IV with my little hook handle on it. So, yeah, she's like, oh, so everything, the air is fine, but what's that over there?
This poor Oops. Girl.
What's that in the corn over there?
The cornfield.
The cornfield, as per usual, is full of aliens.
Of course.
How do you describe these aliens?
There's
quite a few.
I guess they're just like kind of like giant flying spaghetti monsters.
Yeah. Giant, though. Like very giant.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally.
Very, very giant. And because we see like this giant UFO situation lift into the air, this poor girl behind
yeah.
the bunker. And she's like, fuck. And it starts like crop dusting the whole fucking place, like with this green spray. And she's like, oh, fuck. Good thing I made the mask, which I really liked. The mask wasn't just like for nothing.
Right. And I think that's the thing is like, I think they are like spraying poison and
yes,
like maybe the geese weren't exposed to it yet, you know?
Yeah, exactly. They're intermittently spraying
right.
poison, poison.
It's not
all
like all the air is toxic, but
no,
don't
but
get
it
sprayed.
Is right now. So right. put your gas mask on very quickly, which she does. And it works. Her little like 7-Up soda bottle situation that she makes into a gas mask works.
Sure.
And I'm very proud of her.
Sure.
Proud of her.
Yeah.
And then but then she like runs into Howard's truck, which thank God is fucking open. Thank God. Like we can't take another hit right now. You know what I mean? They're aliens.
Yeah.
It's open, but there's a big alien in the corn and it's running after her.
There's
and an it's
alien
fucking hunting her. But it's okay. Don't worry about it. She's like hiding in the truck as best as she can. But there's a bigger fucking alien.
The mama alien.
She's wild. Mama alien. Mama is here and she's pissed. She's mad. She is pissed. She's huge. She's massive. She takes up the whole sky and she reaches her little tentacle tongue down and wraps it all up. You know that scene from Jumanji with like the flowers? With the shootout things?
No, I haven't seen Jumanji. The real Jumanji or the remake?
Ew, the real one.
Oh, I haven't seen that in so long.
With Robin Williams. I probably watch that once a year, but that's neither here nor there. It looks like the flower from Jumanji. Guys, think Jumanji flowers, but big and then in the sky. So it's kind of wraps her up like a Jumanji flower. And it's getting closer and closer to its fucking mouth. It has like a squid mouth in like the center of it.
Oh, yeah, it does. Yeah.
Oh, my God. It has like beaks and like, oh, my. It looks like a squid alien. It looks so good.
Yeah.
And she hasn't given up yet. I would have given up. She hasn't given up. She's like in the back of her truck.
Final girl.
Final girl. We said final. We didn't say second to last. We said final. She said, not today, alien mama. She grabs the scotch out of the back of her car, makes a Molotov cocktail out of it, rolls down the window of her truck.
Hangs out the window.
Hangs out the window and yeets it into mama's mouth.
Amazing.
Mama explodes.
Of course.
Which means she's now coming crashing back down to Earth in her car.
How does she survive? And
she's still fucking alive. She's a survivor. That's why.
Good Lord.
She took a lot of aliens out with her, at least that big one. So.
Yeah. But she has the keys to another car, right? Because there's another car.
To that
car
woman's
there.
Car. Yeah. The woman, the neighbor who was trying to bang her way in.
Right.
So she, thank God that's unlocked. So she goes in that car. The radio works. Thank fucking God. And she's driving away as fast as she can. And she hears a news, kind of like a bulletin that they're like, hey, if you're a survivor, like we're all meeting in Baton Rouge, like come, we have other survivors. But also if you have medical training, if you have combat training, if you know anything that we don't know, we are like setting up an army in Houston. Like there's like a lot more out there and we need as much any help that we can get. If you have anything that you can help, please go to Houston. And of course it's this perfect moment where she's
perfect,
going on like
perfect road sign. Which will you choose?
We're on like I-20 or whatever. And it's like, you go south, you can go like north to Baton Rouge, or you can go like west to Houston or whatever.
Yeah.
And she like backs the fucking car up because she's full down Baton Rouge Road first, which is fair.
Totally.
Yeah. And she's like, I've paid my due. And, but she backs it up and she's like, I'm pretty fucking good at this.
I'm going to go help some bitches.
I'm going to go fight some aliens.
Hell yeah.
So she drives off to Boston. I mean, drives off to Houston and you see aliens in the sky and that's the end of the fucking movie.
Amazing.
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 Again, totally. I had no idea. I knew nothing.
Oh my God. I can only imagine not knowing that there's aliens in this movie and then finding out there's aliens. That would be epic. I unfortunately knew there were aliens.
You knew, I know, but I didn't. So like the John Goodman of it all was insane.
Because
I was like, I was fully the protagonist. Like, I don't know.
Yes.
Whew.
It's like so many storylines and twists and it's insane. And it keeps you guessing and it's extremely entertaining. I understand. I feel the same way.
And that is why I'm going to rate this movie. I'm going to go ahead and do it because I want to know how you feel.
Wait, don't rate yet. I have to analyze it.
Okay, analyze it first. Hit me.
Kate, this is my job.
What do you think?
I have so much analyzation.
I just
want to
know what you
here.
Think. Okay, Kate. Analyze it.
All right.
Put it in your little brain. I want to see what comes out.
Okay. Let's talk about the characters, because that shit's important in this fucking movie.
There's only three, and they're all awesome.
They're all awesome. All right. So let's talk about Howard. Howard is an entitled, selfish, manipulative, jealous, condescending, abusive asshole. We don't like
misogynistic
Howard.
Piece of shit.
We are watching this guy fucking lose his shit every 2 seconds, anger issues.
Yeah.
He is so offended that Michelle and Emmett are not grateful to him.
Grateful.
And he throws a pity party for himself every chance he gets and takes deep offense to anything that results in him.
You should be more grateful.
Being even remotely slighted, but he's also so detached and has zero empathy for Michelle when she's initially attempting to acclimate to this idea of being in a bunker. It's like he has no understanding of anyone else's emotions and gives little thought to anyone else's feelings or motives. He just really cares about his own. So he's kind of a selfish prick.
Kind of a sociopath.
Totally. I think he is a caricature of an abusive and domineering father figure. And he's meant to represent this aspect of toxic masculinity.
100 billion percent. Dad horror.
Daddy horror. You know what?
I know this is mommy horror, but...
This is the mommy poll, but she picked a daddy horror.
Unfortunately, it's a daddy horror movie. I got a weakness. What can I say? For daddies.
Alternatively, we have Emmett, who's meant to represent the alternative healthy masculinity over here.
Yeah.
He's has a very traditionally masculine physicality. He has a beard. He's a contractor. He wears a baseball cap. He wears flannel. And he's not afraid to read 17 magazine and learn to French braid and take the quizzes. Like,
no,
he's
he did
secure.
The quizzes. So cute. He's and he's also like, he's never putting Michelle into an uncomfortable position ever.
Right.
He's never like giving unwanted flirtation. Like, it's always just above board, class act.
Yes.
He
takes
the
time.
He's always trying to cut the...
Explain cut things the, to her.
Yes.
He makes jokes at his own expense to diffuse the situation.
Yes.
To help Michelle be at ease when she's uncomfortable around Howard. He... I think this is the biggest part, is that he offers to help Michelle and essentially risks his life to do that. And at one point in the movie, they say, like, the plan is for the one person to escape to go find help. But there's a scene.
Yeah, because they can only make one.
Right. Where you can tell that, like, Michelle and Emmett both know that they're both, like, working to help only one person escape.
Yeah,
and it's kind of like he's, you can kind of tell he's helping her escape.
Escape.
He's the real MVP here.
Even if he couldn't, obviously he didn't foresee being shot in the fucking head and thrown out of vat of acid. But if she escaped, nothing good was going to happen to him. It could probably would have been worse, arguably.
Right. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So let's talk about Michelle, because Michelle's amazing. But before we talk about her character arc, let's talk about her relationship to Howard, because I feel like that's extremely intriguing, obviously. So
little princess.
Absolutely. At the beginning of our exposure to their relationship, we, the audience, are bracing ourselves for some sort of sexual motivation. I'm just sitting there dreading what's coming. I'm like, this is fucking horrible. We've all seen this shit. We all listen to true crime. We want to die. So
as soon as we see the knee brace, we're like, all right.
We're like, fuck.
Where is he?
Yes. So the first time all three of them interact, we kind of already talked about this, when Michelle stumbles and Emmett catches her.
No touching.
Yeah. And he's like, no touching. We know that this is... something strange is going on, but we don't know what it is. What flavor of toxicity are we going to be dealing with?
Mm-hmm.
Is he doing this because he wants to touch her? Is he doing this because he sees her as like a daughter figure? Or is he just
murky,
like an intense guy? Like, we're all like trying to figure him out. And he keeps saying sketchy shit like, Megan was a good cook. You'll learn to love cooking.
You'll learn to like cooking too. So
he takes her to the bathroom and won't leave her alone. He gives her some privacy, but not enough. And then he says, like, I'm not a pervert. But it's like, okay.
He tells her to behave whenever she acts up at dinner.
Fucking crazy. Oh, and then we have this disturbing scene, which for me is like a moment where it kind of explains things and it's a little, everything's a little bit more clear, which is this taboo scene where he's like calling her like a girl and a child and a princess. And I'm like, okay. So your motivation is...
So it's daughter.
Daughter, right.
Yeah.
And it's kind of a little bit of a relief, but it also is still a form of toxicity called infantilization, which happens all the time. And then as the movie progresses, we realize that Michelle is just an object and Howard's projecting his ideal version of himself as a father figure after losing his own daughter, and she just becomes a possession onto which he can exert control.
Yes.
Love it.
Well said. Then, well said.
Once Emmett is killed, he grabs her and he's like, it was just you and me always. This is how it was supposed to be. And it's like, cool. So you planned this, you fucking creep.
Uh-huh.
Horrifying.
You couldn't wait for a reason.
Exactly. Or maybe he kind of invented the reason a little bit, you know?
And then also after he kills Emmett and like she's in shock in the bedroom, he comes in like, with
oh my
his
God,
hair
this is the worst.
Back.
This is the worst, Kate. Oh, I almost stopped you and made you talk about it when we were going through it. Cause I was like, oh my God, she didn't even talk about the ice cream scene. It's the fucking worst.
The
I
ice cream fucking scene. This is like, Emmett has just been shot in the face like 5 minutes ago.
That was
maybe.
The true. Yeah. That was the most ick I've ever had. I was
it can't possibly get worse than that. And then he walks into her cell.
Oh my God.
Dressed in like a clean button up and khakis. His hair is like slicked back.
He's shaved.
He just shaved. And oh my God. And he's like, he has an ice cream cone in one hand, and then an ice cream in a bowl in the other. And he's like, don't worry about Emmett. Like, I took care of everything. It's all taken care of.
And he goes, we can do whatever we want now.
I can do whatever I want now.
Oh, my God.
We can do whatever we want now. He's trying to get her to take the ice cream. He's like, Megan always liked her ice cream in a bowl. Which
delusional.
One do you want? And she's just like horrified. And he just like gives her the bowl of ice cream and just eats his ice cream. Because, yeah, he doesn't care how it doesn't matter how she actually feels.
No, yeah. I mean, she's an object again. Like, none of it. She's not a person.
She's not acting up right now. So, perfect. The fantasy is still good.
Exactly. And
that was,
you know,
scary.
At that point, we're like, okay, this is fucked up. But, you know, at least he hasn't been like physically, like he hasn't laid hands on her yet.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then, same shit. He fucking sees that she's been hiding this biohazard suit under her bed and has a moment where he literally grabs her by the hair and like throws her, and I'm like, all right,
it's so scary,
we're out.
Every single shot where he's like standing in the door frame and like the top of the door like touches his head, like
they do
a giant man.
Wait, how tall is he? Is he tall, or do they just make it look like he's tall?
I don't know,
we need to figure this out.
I'll ask my dad. JK, I'll ask Google. John Goodman.
I'll ask my dad.
Let me see. Height. Oh, he's 6'2". For me, that's very tall.
Wow, I didn't know he was that tall. I thought they just made him look tall.
Wow. No, he's a big guy.
He's a tall man.
He's a big man.
Holy shit.
Oh, scary as shit. Really scary.
Every time
he's standing in the door frame, I'm like. But yeah, when he came in clean shaven, I wanted to throw up.
That was horrible. That was the peak horrible moment for me as well.
What a bad day to be Michelle. You know,
it's
what I
mean? A bad day. All right. Now we're going to talk about Michelle and how she's a great character all on her own, independent of men, because we support the Bechdel test. No, I'm just kidding. So
it doesn't pass that. Well, yes, it does. Yes, it does. Because she talks to Leslie, the neighbor.
I guess she does.
She sure does.
Does she talk to her, or is she talking to John Goodman watching her? I don't know. We'll have to find out. It doesn't pass the Bechdel test, but she's the only
maybe it
character.
Doesn't.
I don't know.
Damn.
So
but there's only like three characters. Okay, we're fine with it.
We're fine.
We accept
maybe
it.
The alien's a female. Maybe Mama Alien.
I think it's probably a female. Yeah, she listens to the female person on the
radio. At her.
You can't tell me that alien on the ground wasn't girl. You don't know.
Oh, you know, the people making announcements on the radio were both women. That's pretty cool. That was a choice.
Both of them talking to each other. Yes, you're right. Bechdel
that
test,
was a choice.
In like the last minute.
Right.
The last second.
In the literal last second.
Ooh, squeeze through the door. Good job. Good job, J.J. Abrams. Good job, writers.
Nailed it. So I feel like as women, we rarely get to see women portrayed as like winners with their own strengths. I feel like when we do get to see strong women, it's usually like traditional male strengths, like women who are physically overtaking men and things like that.
Yes. Yeah.
But I do think it's pretty rare that we get to see a woman character who uses femininity almost as her advantage. Mm-hmm. Like, she flirts with Emmett to piss off Howard to get the keys. She uses her size and her agility and her flexibility to shimmy through the air vent to escape.
Right.
And I think the biggest one, which is one that people don't talk about as a true tool that women use every single day, is this ability for people to, women specifically, to stay quiet and assess a situation and not poke the bear when she's trying to manage Howard's anger issues. I think that there's this tool that women have learned to do where when there's like an anger issue with a man, it's like, okay, how do I not make this worse?
Yeah.
And I think she does that extremely well.
Because that shit's scary and it happens.
Yeah.
She's perfect. Honestly, she's perfect. A perfect character. And I think she's super well acted by, what is it, Mary Elizabeth Winstead or whatever her name is. She's got a long name.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mary Elizabeth. I was right. Yay. Yeah, she's fucking great. I love her. She's fantastic.
She is really, really good in this. Kate, did you know about the original ending? There's a different ending. You want to hear it?
Does she die?
No, it's horrible. So,
oh, no.
A lot of people, like a big reason why people don't like this movie is because they do say this ending, and by this ending, I mean like the real ending, the one with the aliens, ruins the movie.
I cannot disagree hard enough.
I know. I know. A lot of people feel like
disagree enough.
They're so invested in like the John Goodman story arc, and then when it is no longer about that, and then they have this whole other like 10-minute thing about the aliens, they feel like that's too much, and
it's about that both. It ruined like, the movie. You know what?
I don't know why people
do that.
I could
see someone.
Way.
I disagree, but you
no,
know.
I agree. I disagree as well.
I'm trying not to get livid right now, but you know, I loved the ending.
Let me tell you the original ending. So
this
the
is probably from like was this like filmed or is this like the original story from like the cellar? Do you know
the original written story? Like this was the writers wrote this as the original story and then they changed it when it became a movie.
Yeah, before Whiplash got a hold of it and shook it up.
Yes, whip it. Yes,
whip it. Yep. Yeah, with Ellen Page. Yes.
Okay, so in the old ending, Michelle does escape the bunker, but she only leaves Howard. She leaves him alive, only shooting him in the knee to escape. She dodges aliens and is able to get all the way to Chicago before finding out that the city is destroyed. And then the end. That's the whole movie. It's like,
boo!
Howard's still alive. Basically, it leaves us in this place where we're almost like on team Howard almost, where we're like, oh, Howard wasn't
lying.
Like, you
should have stayed in the bunker.
And she made a mistake by leaving. And it's like, okay, I don't want to feel that way, you know? I don't want to feel that way. Fuck that.
I can see that as a short story. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. I don't like it.
If you're meaning, you're trying to evoke, you know, despair. But no, Howard has to lose.
Howard needs to lose.
Howard has to lose.
He killed an underage girl. He needs to fucking lose. I don't want to side with Howard at the end. Absolutely not.
No.
So this new ending is a better metaphor. It's a better message for the movie. It's... she escapes the bunker. She finds a new threat waiting for her. And it's the aliens, obviously. And the writers of this new ending say this is a metaphor for abuse because victims of domestic abuse, just getting out of the house doesn't solve all your problems. You know, finding the courage to leave your abuser doesn't always guarantee a happily ever after.
No. Yeah,
which
that's
I
a
love
very
that.
Good point.
I feel like I felt like I got that from this vibe. Like it's very much like
it's just beginning.
Yeah. Like, just
it's
beginning.
Not that easy to get out. Yeah. It's not as easy as you might think or people might think. You can't just put on the mask and then go.
Exactly.
Even though you had a horrific battle to get that far.
Exactly.
You should think like that should be enough.
It's never gonna be enough. There's always gonna be something new. And it sucks.
That sucks.
I think this new ending is a perfect circle. I think we get to hear about her abuse as a child and then seeing another child being abused and not having the courage to help and regretting it. And then she's abused again by Howard and escapes him, then escapes the aliens. And she uses what she learns and she becomes, you know, a more developed character. And then she uses what she learns to help those in Houston instead of running north.
I imagine it's like a gaggle of ladies over in Houston. fucking shit up, taking names.
I love it. Amazing. Wait, Kate, I have a question for you.
Hit me.
So what would you have done in this scenario? Would you have done the same? Would you have done things differently?
Like starting from getting my car hit and suspecting it was him.
And being, you know, waking up on a dirty mattress with John Goodman there.
So I'm going to be very honest. I am 5'1".
If even.
If on a good
day. On a good day.
I am 5'1". She is small in size. I have learned that I can use, I would go full with the daughter angle.
Same.
I've used it to get out of speeding tickets.
I know you have. I'm sure.
I know. Yeah. Yeah. It's a powerful tool, and I like it because I don't have to, there's nothing wrong. Like she could have absolutely gone in and used her sexuality. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that probably would have worked eventually once Howard, you know, dealt with his demons or whatever. Cause there's a sexual undertone here. It's creepy.
There is.
But I would have, gone full with the daughter angle, worn the clothes, agreed with everything he said, buttered him up, and then like probably stabbed him
in his sleep. Yes.
Yeah. I would have fucking stabbed him.
I would have done the exact same, Kate. I think she did the right thing escaping. However, I think she escaped too soon. I think she should have done more recon in regards to what was out there before. Right.
Well, she got caught. Like she wasn't meant to, she was in bed still working on shit. Like,
She did. But I think she could have come back from, I don't know. I feel like she could have come back from that. Like, I think for me, I probably would have spent like months to almost a year in there before trying to leave.
Yeah.
I feel like she could have spent more time, or if that didn't work, she could have put all of her energy into like learning how to maintain the bunker and then killing John Goodman in his sleep. Because she doesn't need to have the knowledge of how to maintain the bunker.
Right. I think she does have that knowledge, but yeah, it's not like overtly described.
Like she wouldn't have known how to fix the air filtration system if she hadn't had to do that once.
Until
you
she
know?
Did. Yeah, exactly. How would you try to learn just observation? Because I feel like if you were asking too many questions, Howard's not going to like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you just toe the line.
Observation.
Yeah.
Yeah, you just toe that line.
Yeah, you toe it and you figure it out. Maybe he'll be like, ooh, she wants to learn what her daddy does.
Yeah, I think if I had been like, hey, can you wake me up at 6 a.m. with a flashlight and tell me that we're going to do a chore that's going to last 30 minutes and is going to last 10 hours? Because that's the dad scenario I want. I want it to be very realistic. I want you to get mad at me for holding the light wrong.
I forgot you didn't have brothers, so I had a brother to do all that shit. So
yeah, I had a brother. But not that kind of brother. And yeah, it was us doing all the shit work, rotating the fucking tires and all that shit.
That's nice.
Boo. Boo dad trying to teach me things.
That's nice.
I'm like, I don't want to learn these. I want to go inside and play Nintendo. I want to play Nintendo. He's like, you're going to learn. That man taught me how to drive and it was the scariest experience of my life. Daddy, if you're listening, I love you. But that was horrifying. That was so scary.
I feel like you added to the chaos, Kate. I don't think it was your dad's fault. I think it's your fault. I wouldn't want to teach you how to drive.
I don't know any of this, but it's you.
That man is a saint.
He let me behind the wheel.
He let you behind the wheel.
On purpose?
He took a responsibility for you behind the wheel. That man's a saint.
He is a saint. Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I tried to be a less difficult daughter for John Goodman.
Yeah, Shirley well, Temple. Yeah, you have to play into it. That's the thing.
Yeah, of course. I would eat my ice cream out of a bowl.
I would be like, a bowl, daddy.
Daddy! Yummers! Can you tuck me into my dirty mattress? Can you read me a bedtime story?
Kate does this every day. Can you guys tell? Kate plays this angle constantly.
I do play this angle when I need to all the time. It can also kind of like push away a creep from being creepy. If I like, it can also make it worse. So, you know, high risk, high reward.
I could see how that would make it worse, Kate. No surprises there.
High risk, high reward.
You're like, surprisingly, it makes it worse sometimes. Surprise, surprise.
Surprise, surprise. Saying it out loud, I was like, catch those words and throw them behind me, you idiot.
All right, well, tell me what you were going to rate it.
I feel like it's pretty obvious, but 10 out of 10 family game nights.
Family game nights. Yes.
Which are a horror in and of themselves.
Family game night horror.
Family game night horror. 10 out of 10. Everything you said, I agree with. I think the characters are fantastic. The story is unlike anything I've ever seen. And I'm also biased because I watched it completely blind. So I got the absolute best experience you could humanly have with this movie.
Amazing.
In my opinion. So yeah, yum. This is delicious.
That's awesome. I will say I'm a full idiot because I did watch this probably like 2 years ago. And I completely forgot that they actually made John Goodman's character a bad man. Like, I forgot. I thought they left it more nebulous. I forgot that they, like, fully show evidence that he murdered and kidnapped another girl. Like, I forgot about that. Like, I thought it was like, ooh, was this his daughter? Was this not? Like,
nah,
I thought it was nebulous. I totally forgot.
It is not nebulous.
Because at the beginning of it, I was like, I remember it being nebulous. So I'm going to play the devil's advocate. So I'm, like, looking for all the reasons why John Goodman is a good man. Like, that was me at the beginning. I was like, oh, like, he's socially awkward, like, blah, blah, blah. I'm like taking notes. And then I realized, I'm like, oh, fuck. Like, he actually fucking abducted a little girl and killed her. Okay. I forgot. So I got to re-experience it too.
You had the Michelle experience is what you had.
Yes. I was like, oh, fuck.
Jesus,
okay.
That's so scary.
Never mind. I was riding that roller coaster with Michelle. That's for damn
that
sure.
That sounds scary. Sounds like a lot. I'm glad that you at least agree it's a horror movie. That means a lot.
Oh, hell yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah,
it's just, you know, it sucks because I do feel like obviously there's probably more men than women that are into horror. We've all kind of talked about that. I feel like when people say this isn't horror, I feel like it's just like if you're saying that, I think you're detached from this type of situation.
I agree.
I think any woman watching this would feel like this is horror. That's why I called it lady horror, because I do feel like
lady
they really target women's close fears.
Yes. They said this one's for the girls. Sorry.
This one's for the girls.
This one's for the ladies. Y'all afraid of men?
We're
say
the lady
what?
Aren't men like real toxic though?
If you got daddy issues, say hey-o.
No, I agree with you. I love this movie. I feel like it was really superficially entertaining and entertaining when you look into like the deeper meanings and the character development. I feel like there was a lot of twists and turns and it was like five movies in one. And I think the ending made her character arc perfect. And obviously there's a lot of feminist undertones, which I'm always here for.
Hell yeah.
So I'm going to give it 9 out of 10 vats of perchloric acid.
I was going to do acid.
Nine out of ten. Minus 1 point because there's no Greek mythology metaphors. Sorry.
There are none. Honestly, not one in sight. I get it. Okay.
It would have been perfect.
10. Oh, I'm so happy. I was like, she's going to not really let. Because honestly, I really thought I know I am very biased about this movie. I don't know why. But then I was watching it with Emma yesterday. Emma and Nick. Yeah. Well, because I like, you know. I had such a good experience and it's very nostalgic for me.
Yeah, that's fair.
Like I watched it with Emma and Nick and it was like this whole experience. But like we rewatched it together just last night and Emma and Nick kept saying, this is a good fucking movie.
It's like, a great
just, like,
movie.
Randomly.
It's a great movie. It's like one of those movies where you're like, why aren't more people into this movie?
It's like the decisions that they make, like the direction is really good. I honestly can't get over how scary they made John Goodman.
Like, yeah, it's perfect.
They really made him so fucking scary. I love what you said about Emmett. And like, I was just happy to have like a man like that on screen. You know what I mean? Like I hate that he got shot in the head, but we'll take what we can get.
Right.
Good guys finish last. Am I right or am I right?
True that. No. True that.
But I am encouraged by the fact that you gave it 9 out of 10 vats of acid. And also the fact that it got 110 million at the box office. So that.
Yeah.
Those give me. But I don't know how it did with the RT, with the tomatoes.
Oh, well,
and
you
after
guess?
The menu, I don't know. You know, I don't even know what to expect.
You should guess.
I really can't. Okay, critics. I'm going to say audiences had a problem with it. I'm going to say audiences. Well, it made a lot of money. I'm going to say audiences gave it a 72. I'm going to say critics liked it a little bit better, and they gave it an 81.
Amazing.
Percent.
I don't think you've ever been so far off.
Is it worse?
90% critics. I know. That's so fucking good.
That's really good.
That's so good.
90?
For a horror movie. Yes, this is a
horror
movie.
Yes, that's my girl right there. 90%.
And yes. Audience was a little bit better. 79.
79, yeah. Because I knew people had a problem.
People have problems with the aliens, and they have a problem with it being considered a horror movie, which I think is bullshit, but whatever.
Scary. But whatever.
Yeah.
We're on the same team this time. Yeah, fuck you, Austin Chronicle, or whoever didn't like it. Probably them.
All right, are we doing a... Let's rank it. Let me go over to
Let's mosey on over, guys. We're gonna scooch on over in our little gas mask. We're gonna, scooch on over in our truck to the nightlighthorrormovieclub.com, our website that Ariana maintains. It's gorgeous. It's sexy. We love it. And click on that scoreboard. It's hideous. It's ugly.
We
love
hate
it.
Everything.
It's bad. But we're doing our best. And let's see here. Since it's mommy's poll, I think I should have carte blanche to do whatever I want.
Number one.
Let me see. I'm going high. This is such a good movie. This is a 10 out of 10. All of these in the top are all 10 out of 10.
Oh, you're in the way top? Holy fuck.
Sorry, girl.
Shit. Okay.
We're going to have to split the difference. I recognize that.
Okay.
This is number 22.
Oh, 20s. Okay. I'm in the 40s, so not terrible. So we should put in the
not
30s.
Too far.
Yeah. Let's put it in the 30s
fair.
Somewhere.
It's on the same, screen when you're scrolling, so that's good.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
Encouraging.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So where are you thinking in the 30s?
Let's see. I would put this, let's do number 30.
Just right smack in the middle. I like number 30. I think that's a good number.
Number 30. Yes.
We should like retroactively move A Quiet Place. I don't understand why that. It just like, snuck these, under the radar.
All of these are terrible. I don't understand.
Oh, why is A Quiet Place number 24? It's because it just slipped under the radar and it just like snuck its happy ass up whenever
you
we
guys
weren't
had
looking.
A Quiet Place like in the top 10 for a very long time. Like I'm pretty sure.
We did. Yeah. We
so
were
high.
High on glue.
obviously.
Whenever we made that list, I'll just go ahead and come out with it. It was glue. I hate that movie now. I don't know why. Like,
do you really?
Twice, and I'm like, I'm done. Yeah, I really don't like it anymore. I don't know. The glow faded for me.
I remember you guys having like a lot, like, of warm feelings about how they treated ASL.
Yeah, yeah, we did.
I remember
I did
that
really
being
like that
a big part of
okay.
it. Yeah.
Okay. Well, that makes me feel a little bit better.
Yeah.
At least it's inclusive.
All right,
number 30. I like it. I'm happy with it. And
amazing.
If you guys are happy with it, let us know. If you're mad. Let us know. Again, it's nightlighthorrormovieclub@gmail.com. You can also contact us on our website. And if you guys like this podcast, if you like aliens running through the corn, hopefully there's other people out there who also like aliens running through corn and they would like this podcast. So give us a rating. Give us a review. We appreciate it. The corn people appreciate it. The aliens appreciate it. And yeah, it'll be a good time for everybody.
Hell yeah. And our next movie, which is the winner of Daddy's Poll.
Daddy's
Home, bitches, is When Evil Lurks.
Which neither of us have seen.
I have not seen, and you have not seen, but I've heard
scared.
Good things about it. Do you know what it's about
I'm
or
afraid.
No?
Nope. Oh, I know that it's really scary.
Oh, really? Oh, I didn't hear that it was scary.
Maybe
I heard
I'm wrong.
It was like an interesting premise.
Wait, hold on.
No, don't look it up. Don't look it up.
Okay, sorry. I'm so sorry. Okay, I won't.
Good.
I won't.
Okay. I want you to be surprised.
I'll keep it.
Okay.
I will. I will. If I am oblivious to the goings on around me. So
amazing.
I will be surprised.
Great.
I'm always surprised. All right, guys. We'll catch you next time. And until then, stay spoopy.
Stay spoopy. Children behave. That's what they say.